Center. The ADA Audio Conference, ADA Audio Conference Series is a program of the ADA National Network. The ADA National Network is funded by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Administration on Community Living, National Institute on Disability, Independent Living, and Rehabilitation Research. The ADA National Network is beginning its 26th year in existence of providing premier information on the Americans with Disabilities Act. You may reach the regional ADA center that serves your state by calling 800-949-4232. So again, welcome to everyone as we kick off the 2017 ADA Audio Conference schedule. I am pleased today to be joined by some of my colleagues from the New England ADA Center. Our session title today is Introducing the Revised Title II Action Guide for Self-Evaluation and Transition Planning. With us today from the New England ADA Center are Kathy Gipps, Woody Shortridge, and Gabriella Sims. At this time, I would like to turn it over to Kathy for our presentation. Kathy?
Thank you, Peter, and hello, everybody. It's nice to see some familiar colleagues on the webinar and some new folks. What we're going to do today is we're going to review the revised ADA Title II Action Guide. I will be speaking first. I'll give you some background and a bit of an overview about what the intention is, how it's organized, what we're hoping to do with the website. And then I'll turn it over to Woody, who is our really the coordinator of the development of the website, and Gabriella Sims, who is our all things graphic and all things visual, and also has been very involved with the sort of the look and feel of the website. So as many of you know, or most of you know, way back at the end of the 20th century, all state and local governments were required to do what was called a self-evaluation. It's part of the Title II regulations. And state and local governments with 50 or more employees were required to do a transition plan, the self-evaluation that was required to be finished by 1993. And all the work that was outlined in the transition plan was required to be completed by 1995. So fast forward 20 years, and we have new requirements that were not in the original regulations. For example, we now have design standards for recreation facilities, for play areas, for swimming pools, for accessible route to ball fields, for recreational fishing areas. We also have some other requirements in our regulations. We have policies about ticketing in theaters. We've got web access issues that didn't exist way back 20 years ago, 25 years ago. We have regulations concerning other power-driven mobility devices, OPDMDs like Segways. We've got new auxiliary aids and services like video remote interpreting. These things did not exist. And so even though we're not legally required to conduct a new self-evaluation and develop a new transition plan, it really makes sense at this point to do it, and we're encouraged by the Department of Justice to do that. The other thing, and just to relate a little story, because I was on the phone this morning with one of our ADA coordinators in a municipality in Connecticut, and we were talking about what they need to do to make sure that their recreation fields and facilities are accessible per the new standards. But then he said to me, you know, I found the transition plan way back from 1995, and it was interesting because many of the things were actually not done, and a lot of the things that were done incorrectly. So when I do the transition plan for the recreation, I'm planning to actually go back and do all of our facilities to develop my new transition plan. So I think that's something that Title II entities need to think about also, which is the work that we did way back in the early 90s didn't necessarily get all done or didn't necessarily get all done correctly. So encouragement to do a self-evaluation and develop a transition plan, and that's really the intention of the website. The original Title II Action Guide, which was last updated in 1996, was, of course, a book. It is 150-plus pages. It has about 15 pages of worksheets and forms and checklists. This Title II Action Guide, of course, is web-based. But we still have worksheets and forms and checklists. I don't think any of us have figured out a way to do a self-evaluation and to develop a transition plan without the paperwork. Of course, it doesn't have to be paper. You can do it on your iPad or on your computer, but it still is a file. It's still a document. And we've got them as downloadable files. And it's things like, in terms of the self-evaluation, there's a file, a checklist for checking effective communication. There's one for general non-discrimination requirements. There's one on employment. There's one on web access. We've got sample transition plan forms. So you can pick and choose. Don't have to do the whole thing. Maybe you just want to look at emergency preparedness. Maybe you just want to look at your polling places. Maybe you just want to review the effective communication. You don't necessarily have to do the whole ball of wax. We also have the ADA checklists, which already exist on all of the recreation requirements and on getting into your building, the toilet rooms. So we're going to be pointing to those rather than recreating them. We already have those on a website. Let me see here. So the other thing I want to mention, and I'm actually going to want your feedback on, is about four things we're going to ask for your feedback on at the end of the presentation. And this one is a file that we're temporarily calling an action plan. So as most of you are aware, the regulations require a transition plan, but the transition plan only deals with structural changes in facilities. And this transition plan is, what's the problem? What needs to be done? You know, what's the solution? Who's responsible for doing it? And when is it going to be done by? But there's nothing in the regulations that really addresses what I call the soft stuff. So after you do a self-evaluation, there's lots to do. Update your public notice, you know, and also not just the notice itself, but really look at how are you notifying the public about your compliance with the ADA. Now that we have websites, we really should be putting this information on the website. You might actually want an entire page that has the grievance procedure. You will probably want to work with your web folks to make sure that the web is accessible, that your state and local government website is accessible. You may decide this is the time to buy an assistive listening device and let staff know where it is and how to use it. Maybe you decide that you need some ADA training. So there's going to be, after doing a self-evaluation, there's really a whole list of things to do. And there's no official planning process. So we've called that the action plan, but I'm going to get feedback later on whether you think that's a good name or there should be another name. The sample action plan, we came up with a fictional county just to give you an idea of some of the things that we would put in an action plan. And then there's also an action plan form. And the action plan form is just like the transition plan form. It's what's the problem, what's the solution, who's responsible for doing it, and when are we going to do it by. So that's something new. It's something that many of us have felt has really been lacking in the ADA Title II compliance effort, was this kind of this other planning process. So I've sort of gone down the rabbit hole of forms and checklists and surveys, and I want to back up and talk about the website in terms of the kind of big picture. We have a fairly detailed explanation of Title II. I'm hoping that it's somewhat in plain English, as plain English as you can use with legal terms. You know, reasonable modification of policies, practices, fundamental alteration. We can't change those terms, but hopefully we can explain them in a somewhat plain way. It's listed by topics, and so you can choose the topic that you want to look at, or you can read the entire thing, the entire explanation of Title II. And we'll go over this. Woody's going to show us this. And the text is also includes a lot of examples, and the examples are from the original Title II Action Guide. They're from the Department of Justice's Title II Technical Assistance Manual, which is way back from the early 90s, but also still very relevant. The Department of Justice has a more recent primer, which has some really helpful text and examples. There's other Department of Justice's publications that we've pulled from. And then we've got 25 years of real-life questions and scenarios and calls and emails that we've all gotten. So we've pulled some of the examples from them. The text also has some photos interweaved because it's very text-heavy, so we need to break that up a little bit visually. Then we have frequently asked questions, and we have a quiz. So this is really the only interactive part of the website. And the quiz, if you get any of the questions wrong, you'll get the right answer. So it's intended really to be a learning experience. And there's 10 questions, but behind the 10 questions is a question bank. So if you want to go through, there's actually 100 questions in there. And they come up randomly, and it will give you the correct answer. We've got a glossary, quick access to a glossary. So if you want to find out the definition of a service animal really quickly, or what the heck an OPBMD is, or any of the new terms in the ADA, or any of the old terms in the ADA, we've got a glossary. There's resources. There's all the ADA regulations and the standards, a list of the federal agencies, how to file complaints, federal agencies publications, the ADA network publications. And then there's also an overview of the ADA, which I'm also going to ask you a few questions about. And let me get my next page of notes. Hold on one second. Oh, dear. And then we have direct links to the ADA Network website. We have direct links to the ADA Coordinator Program. And we have direct links to the ADA webinars. So the intent of the website is really sort of twofold. One is really being able to learn about the ADA. You're a new ADA coordinator, or your new town manager, or your new county commissioner, and you've heard about this thing called the ADA, and you really want to understand what your obligations are. Maybe you've been assigned to a disability commission or committee. So it really is intended to be very information heavy. But then there's another part which has what we call 7 action steps. And the first step is planning for implementation. The second step is assigning an ADA coordinator. The third step is public notice. The fourth step is conducting a self-evaluation. The fifth step is developing a transition plan. The sixth step is the grievance procedure. I think I just got those mixed up. The sixth step is actually developing the transition plan. And then the seventh step is this thing called the action plan. So that is really an overview of what our intention is, to create something that's going to be useful. We can get lots of information that also has the forms and worksheets, and you know, with the goal that your state and local government will become compliant with the ADA, and it will be a process that's going to work. Since it's a website, not a book, it's also going to be a living thing which can be changed. And so we're always interested in people's feedback, what works, what doesn't work, and things that are missing, things that are incorrect, things like that. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Woody, who's going to talk about our website development process and kind of walk you through the website itself. So Woody, you're on.
And then, Kathy, I'm going to jump in here real quick before Woody starts, just to let folks know what is going to take place while Woody is describing the web pages. He's going to use a feature within the Blackboard Collaborate webinar platform and take you on a web tour. This is just a demo site, or not demo, Woody will describe more what it is, but there is no accessibility within the web platform. So Woody will be a very descriptive and providing very detailed description of the web pages that are being displayed. For those of you that are not using assistive technology, do not click on any of the links within the pages that you see. If you do, you will be lost from the presentation, and what Woody is talking about will not be what you are viewing. So please do not click on anything within those pages. once Woody is done with his detailed description of these web pages and what it's going to look like, he will then end the web tour, and folks will be returned back into the main webinar platform. For those of you using assistive technology, the focus of your cursor will not be in the webinar room once the web tour feature is turned off. You will need to do an Alt Tab in order to get your focus back into the webinar room. So just so you're aware of that once the web tour is over, because once Woody is done and Gabriella describing the web pages, there will be some questions that that Kathy and Woody and Gabriella will be asking, and we'll be using the polling features within the platform. But we'll provide more description once we get to that point. Just wanted to give you all a heads up before Woody got into his detailed description. So go ahead, Woody.
Thank you, Peter. So I'm Woody, and I'm in charge of the development of the site over here. I'm going to put it in right now, and we'll go there. As Peter said, this is only a demo. This is not an actual website. It's something in between a wireframe and a prototype. It's interactive so that you can click through it and use a couple of the functions. But most of the website does not act like a real website. And we do it this way so that we can first look at and research through user testing the visual aspects and also the information architecture of it all. So we have users walk through, and the idea here is to find any issues with color, contrast, layout, the architecture, the information, the hierarchies, and everything, so that when we go to develop the actual site, we're not wasting time with iterations. And so the next step from here is I'm going to work on the development of an actual website that will work with the screen reader and that sort of thing. And then we'll do user testing again with that to make sure the assistive technologies work with all the interactions. So to begin, I'm just going to give you a tour through this site, and I'm going to describe it on each page. As I click through it, your screen will click through it. There's, but my mouse won't show on your screen, and so there's a couple points where I'll have you hover over something or scroll to see what I'm talking about, and I'll be sure to let you know when I get there. All right, so this is the homepage here, and it starts out with the header, which it runs constant throughout the site. And at the top right, there's a Contact Us button and a Sitemap button, as well as a search bar if you're trying to find specific information on the site. Below that, there's the New England ADA Center logo, as well as the Institute for Human Design Center logo. And then in big print, we have the title, which is ADA Title II Action Guide for State and Local Governments. Below that is a horizontal menu, which is the main menu for the site, so this runs constant throughout each page. And there's several elements here. We have Home, ADA Overview, ADA Title II Requirements, Action Steps, Resources, and Glossary. And this is where, if you are able to hover over the site, if you hover over the ADA Overview on the main menu bar, there's a drop down there. So you'll see Introduction, Title II Employment, Title II Public Entities, Title III Private Entities, Title IV Telecommunications, and Title V Miscellaneous. Moving over one more to ADA Title II Requirements, still on the main menu tab here, you have a list of Title II requirements. And moving over one more, there's the list of each individual action steps. So as Kathy mentioned, there's step one, start implementation, all the way down through step seven, create an action plan. One more over is the resources. And again, you have a drop-down menu here so that you can skip to what specific resource you'd like to see. And these include self-evaluation forms, sample documents, FAQs, quiz, federal resources, ADA statute, regulations and standards, federal agencies, federal ADA technical assistance material, ADA network technical assistance material, web courses, audio conferences, webinars. And finally, there's the glossary, as I mentioned, on the main horizontal nav bar. And this one doesn't have a drop-down. The glossary is just one page.
This is Peter. If I could just jump in here real quick. For those who may be using assistive technology and once the site is live, for who won't be mousing over those, how will menus be available to someone using assistive technology, a screen reader, for instance?
It would be, depending on what their action key is, tab or whatnot. But that part is not done yet. And I expect we'll probably make a couple different versions of how you can go through that with a screen reader and then test it with users to figure out which one is the best, and probably use a couple different methods.
Great, thanks.
So below that is just a general introduction that tells you about what the site is for. So it says learn how to ensure accessibility for people with disabilities participating in a city meeting, attending public schools, voting, staying in emergency shelter, and much more. Access to civic life by people with disabilities and a fundamental goal for the Americans with Disabilities Act. State and local governments, public entities have obligations under Title II of the ADA to provide people with disabilities an equal opportunity to participate in all services, programs, and activities. Below that introduction are three images there, and these images here are not, they're just placeholders, as Kathy mentioned. And of course, once we get the code developed, we'll have alt text for all images and whatnot. All right, so still on the homepage, under the images, there's two columns. And on the left-hand column is a heading that says New to Title II. Read and understand ADA Title II requirements to know what's important to you. And under that, there is a box which lists all the Title II requirements. And this is the same list from the main navigation bar. The idea here is to have it redundant on the homepage because it is an important part of this website. So it has under ADA Title II requirements in this box all the different ones if you'd like to skip directly to that to learn more about Title II. This includes ADA Title II introduction, who has obligations, who is protected by the ADA, general non-discrimination requirements, integration, effective communication, facility accessibility, program accessibility, the construction, new construction and alterations, employment, accessible website and other ICT, emergency preparedness, voting, public K-12 schools, post-secondary schools, administrative requirements. Under that are four buttons, and we're still in this column of New to Title II. And these four buttons take you to other places you may want to go from the home page, just to make it redundant so you don't have to go through the nav bar if you're new to Title II. And this is resources, glossary, the Title II quiz, and FAQs. All right, so moving on to the second column, which is to the right of the new Title II column, is one with the heading Ready to Take Action. Follow these action steps to become compliant with Title II of the ADA. So here, again, it's redundant of what is under the drop down for action steps on the main menu, but we put it here on the home page because it is the most important aspect of the site. So under here we have buttons for each of the 7 steps. Step 1, start implementation. Step 2, appoint ADA coordinator. Step 3, provide public notice. Step 4, adopt grievance procedure. Step 5, conduct self-evaluation. Step 6, develop transition plan. Step 7, create action plan. And under all of those is a button for self-evaluation forms and sample documents once you're done with the action plan.
Can you have people click on it? We can come back.
I'll get
sorry. All right. Kathy, I was just interrupting Woody. Sorry.
So below these two columns is the footer, and this runs throughout the entire website. And the footer has a link to ADA National Network, telephone, a link to ADA web courses, audio conferences, webinars, and a link to ADA coordinator certification program. Under that, there's a phone number for questions on the ADA, and also the adata.org website, and then a phone number for questions on the website, and or an alternative email contact for the website. Great. So that is just the home page here. And now I'm going to bring you through a little bit of the functionality and the information architecture to see how it all works. So if you can follow me with this, if you are using a mouse, and hover over ADA Overview. Now I'm going to click on the ADA Overview button. All right, so this takes you to the main page for ADA Overview. And the idea here is that if you don't know what section from the drop-down you want, you can go to ADA Overview, and it has all of the sections on one page. And this is how each page is organized. So there's a left-hand navigation bar on each of these pages. And this one here has the same options from the main menu. So if you're on the ADA Overview page, you can skip to whichever part you'd like to see. And that includes introduction, Title I employment, Title II public entities, Title III private entities, Title IV telecommunications, Title V miscellaneous. And if you'd like to try this functionality out, if you hit introduction, it will skip to where the introduction is on this page. If you're using a mouse and hover over ADA Overview at the main menu navigation and click on Introduction, that will also, as I just did, skip you to that section of the ADA Overview page. All right, so I'm going to move.
Hey, Woody, this is Peter, just for clarification. So on the ADA Overview page, all of the information is contained within a single page, and then what you're doing is using in-page links to jump to that particular content matter?
Yeah, so that's how we designed the entire site. So on each main menu button or category, all that information is there. So it's not separate pages for each of the things in the drop-down. It's actually links to an anchor in each page. And then if you're on the page, you also have a side navigation on the left-hand side to get you to where you want to be on that page. And this is a floating navigation. So as you scroll down visually, it will keep it with you. And also for assistive technology, you will be able to jump to that menu easily when wherever you are in the page.
Okay, great. That's helpful for folks using assistive technology.
Yeah, please let me know anytime I need to clarify.
And Woody, I'm just going to jump in for a second too, because the other thing we thought about or the reason we thought about having it all in one page is so that somebody could actually just print that section out if they wanted it. So there'll be a printer-friendly button that will come up, and it'll, you know, print out a nice document for you, so you don't have to keep switching pages to get employment, public entities, private entities on each a separate document.
Great. Thanks, G.
Yep. All right. So we've gone through home, and we didn't go through the content. I'm not going to go through much of the content. A lot of it here is just example content so that we can get a sense for the design. So we've done home, moving to the right on the main menu bar. We've gone through home, ADA overview. And now if you hover over ADA Title II requirements, that same list drops down with all the different options. If you click on the menu button here, which I just did, so your screen may change, you get to the main page, just like the overview, that has all the different Title II requirements. And you can skip to which one you want using the navigation bar on the left. So if you click on ADA Title II Introduction, the page will shift down to where ADA Title II Introduction is. And the nav bar on the left will follow you so that you can move on to whichever section you'd like to see next. And again, as Gabrielle said, the whole page is all one document, so it's easy for printing. And I also think just keeping it together is helpful if you're trying to read through it on the web as opposed to continuously changing links. All right, so moving back up to the main menu, we've gone to home, ADA overview, ADA Title II requirements, and now over to action steps. If you hover over it, you get the drop-down with all seven action steps, and that will allow you to go directly to a step that you know you'd like, but if you don't know exactly where, you can also click on action steps, and it'll take you to the main page, which has all of them. And again, on the left-hand side, it has a nav bar to take you to different action steps within the page. So here on the demo, we have step one in here. And if you click on step one on the nav bar, it will jump to step one, plan for compliance. The action steps here have a big bar for the title. Below that, there's an image. Again, it's just a placeholder. And there'll be alt text for all images. And then a description for the step one. All right, so now we've done home, ADA overview, ADA Title II requirements, action steps. I'm going to move over now to resources. And if you're using a mouse, you can hover over it. This will bring up all the different resources there are. Like I said, self-evaluation forms, sample documents, FAQs, quiz, federal resources, ADA statutes, regulations, and standards, federal agencies, federal ADA technical assistance material, ADA network technical assistance material, web courses, audio conference, and webinars. Now I'm going to click on resources, and this will take us all to the resources page.
Woody, it's Peter again with just another question. On the resource page, let's say, you know, federal resources, when someone clicks on a particular document, say that someone wants to actually go see the Title II regulations, will that open up, and you may not have thought this through, but will that open up in a new browser so that the action guide will still be open in a separate browser? And then a second question to that, for a checklist, if someone's clicking on a document of some sort, will that separately? Will that open on the page? Will that be some sort of fillable form on the website? So I guess multiple questions.
So when you like the other pages, the resource page, you know, it's a little trickier, but like the other pages, it's all one page with the nav bar on the left that will take you down to it. And you're right, there's a lot of different links here and like how to do that. But instead of taking you to a pop-up straight away when you hover over it, we have everything all in one page here. And so, for example, if you navigate to the self-evaluation forms, here it's a list of the links or the forms to fill out. So instead of a direct pop-up, it's giving you a list to choose from. So for general non-discrimination, there you have a link for a PDF fillable, a Word file, or a Word fillable. And there we're giving you multiple options to use. It's really, if people are familiar with the checklist sections from the ADA checklist site, it's going to be pretty similar to that. And that would be for, like you said, any of these resources that are, you know, an external link or something you download and fill out. It'll be done that way. I know it can be a problem sometimes if things are popping up, if your screen is changing. So that's something we will definitely work out once we have the site coded and can test it with screen readers and whatnot to make sure that you don't lose kind of situation awareness here when you're clicking new links. And I think, and I'd be happy to get feedback on that, but I think this idea of having the page with all the different downloadables or links to navigate through as opposed to directly taking there makes that a little easier. So here the only example we have on this prototype is the self-evaluation forms and sample documents. And like the other pages, you can navigate to which section you'd like using the left-hand nav bar. But everything will be on one page. So if you want to get to the FAQs, it'll take you down to where that is on that page. Or if you want to get to the web links to web courses and audio conferences and webinars and whatnot, it'll take you to where that is on that page. So you can browse through those links. Did that answer your question, Peter?
Yes, thank you. Yep.
Great. All right, so I'm going to go to the last option on the main horizontal menu bar is the glossary. And this one, unlike the other ones, doesn't have a dropdown. It's just one page. There's no sections within it. I'm going to click on it now so everybody's screen should go there. All right, so the glossary is, however, set up very similar to these other pages, even though it doesn't have the dropdown to go within. It has a nav bar within it that is the alphabet. So if you're trying to navigate through the glossary instead of having to scroll through it, you can click on A or select if you're using tab or something, A or F or whatever you'd like, and the page will move to where that section of the alphabet is on the glossary. And if you'd like to try that out, it's functional on this prototype. For instance, if you click R, the page will scroll down to reasonable accommodation. Or if you click H, we'll scroll to historic properties. All right, and now that I've gone through the bulk of the information layout and the content layout, I think it might make more sense for everybody if we go back to the homepage. I'm going to do that right now by clicking the first link on the horizontal nav bar. That's where we are now. So now these links on the home page might make more sense where they're taking you. like I said in the beginning, there's two columns here under the introduction and under the pictures. There's two columns, one for new to Title II and one for ready to take an action. And under the new for Title II, there's the ADA Title II requirements, which mirrors exactly what you can get to from the main menu bar. And it has the list within there so that you can go to whichever section you are interested in. If you're interested in employment, you can click employment, and it'll take you to exactly where that section is under the Title II requirements page. And under the Title II requirements box, still within the new to Title II column, there's those four links, the resources, that will take you to the main resources page that we went to. And within that, you can navigate to where you'd like to go. Glossary, the page that we just talked about. The Title II quiz, which would take you specifically to that section in the resources page. And FAQs, which would take you specifically to that section in the resources page. And we picked these buttons here because we felt like coming to a home page, this is, you know, a first-time user would, these are their goals here, whereas people that know the website more will probably be using the main menu for navigation. And then the column to the right, the second column, just to go over this now because I think it might make more sense where these links go, the ready to take action page column, follow these action steps to become compliant with Title II. This is the same content, same pages from the action steps link on the main menu bar. So here you can navigate to which step you like. Each one is a button going from step 1 to step 7. And following all the steps, there you have a button for the self-evaluation forms and sample documents once you're done. And I'll go ahead and click that button there at the bottom so you can see how everything navigates back. Now we are back.
Woody, it's Peter again. Sorry to jump in here. You keep switching back between using the term link and button. Are you using those interchangeably? And you know, my focus has been on screeners.
That's a great question. I am not.
A link does not, or a button doesn't act like a link, and vice versa. You know, for navigational purposes, someone using a screen reader can put, you know, links in a links mode and arrow up and down, whereas a button doesn't act the same way.
Okay. I guess I was using link as a verb here, as it links to. But yes, these are buttons here.
Thanks for the clarification.
You're right. I'm sorry. That was confusing. There are links on the website, but that's like what we were talking about more, the resources, like if we're linking you to a document and that sort of thing. But you're right. For the navigation, we're talking about buttons here. Yeah,
thanks for the clarification.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. All right, so where was I? Oh, yeah, so I'm going to click on the, just a final example, I'm going to click on the self-evaluation forms and sample documents button, and that takes us back to exactly where we were before on the resources page, specifically in that section where you can download or click on links for sample documents and self-evaluation forms. There's one more functionality I'd like to go through, and then I'm basically done. So here I'm going to take you to the Title II requirements page. And we just have a demo here of what one section of this page could look like. And this is the ADA Title II introduction. So under this section, I'm sorry. I was backwards here. So we're actually looking at the who has obligations under Title II section. So if you scroll down, if you're using a mouse, you need to scroll down.
Okay.
Great. So here we have a header, who has obligations under Title II. There's a picture justified to the left, which again is just a placeholder and will be have alt text. And then a description for that question. So Title II applies to state and local governments, including state executive agencies, courts, legislatures, towns, cities, countries, school districts, universities, community colleges, water districts, special purpose districts, regional transit authorities, other state and local government instrumentees, and Amtrak. Then after the description, in parentheses and in blue and underlined, says Title II regulations, and it gives the regulation number. Now, the functionality here is if you are interested in the actual regulations, you can hover over this, and there will be a pop-up, not a pop-up as in a new screen, but an overlay that says, and you can try this here if you're using a mouse, that gives the actual regulation. So public entity means any state or local government, any department, agency, special purpose district, or other instrumental of the state, or states or local government, and the National Railroad Passenger Corporation, and any commuter authority as defined in Section 103(8) of the Rail Passenger Service Act. So the idea here is for each of these Title II requirement sections, there'll be a general explanation, and then there will be the regulation number, which you can hover over to get a more detailed account of what that actually means. And
This is Peter again, just to get clarification for someone that may not be looking at the website. When you talk about the so you're talking about there'll be a section and then the specific Title II regulation 35.104, the definition section, or 35.105, you know, the general requirements. That's what you're saying. Someone can access that additional information that gives you the actual regulatory language.
Exactly.
Is that correct? Okay.
Exactly. So that way it's easy to read and understand. But if you want to go that extra step and you need more detail and see the actual regulations, you can access that at the end of each section. And that will work with assistive technology too. That functionality I haven't figure out how to develop it yet, but definitely will. There's also in these sections for the ADA Title II requirements, if you're using a mouse, if you scroll all the way down, there'll be examples here and there, and the examples visually are in a grayed out box. And basically it just signifying that it's a different type of element here. And we'll do that with for assistive technology as well to signify that this is an example. But yeah, so I think I've covered the functionality that we have set up for this demo as much as we have it. And again here, the demo was made for user testing to look at the visual design, stuff like contrast, like how it's going to do with a screen magnifier, and really the information architecture, see the navigation style, and like does the hierarchy and the categories make sense? Are people able to find what they're looking for? And we are doing that testing this week, and then I'm going to start on the big project, which is actually developing the code, writing the website, making it accessible, and going back and doing more testing with assistive technology for more iterations. But the idea here is before we do that, let's start off with something that is easy to navigate and makes sense visually. That's about it. I guess I'm going to take you back into the main room. And Peter, you might want to remind people about
Thanks, Woody. This is Peter again. Now, for those of you that are using assistive technology, as Woody ends the web tour, it's likely your focus will not be back in the webinar room. So you'll need to use the function Alt-Tab to get your cursor function back into the webinar room, because we're going to do some polling here. Kathy, before we get to the next portion and the polling and what you're going to do next, I had someone submit a question twice, and I just thought you might good point to address it here. And the person is basically asking, is there a single website, you know, where one can get all this information? And I think it came in first when you were doing your general overview, and you can address this, but I think that, you know, the general answer to that, the point is the reason why you are, you know, spending time and energy and, you know, in making this an online one-stop resource for you know, self-evaluation and transition planning.
Yeah, I mean, that is exactly the intent of the website, is to have all the information, you know, sort of in one place, all the information that Title II entities need. So if people feel that we haven't accomplished that, that's going to be really important for us to hear sort of at this point, you know, what's missing.
Yeah, and just the follow-up to that is that I think the answer is that they're you know, pieces of this information out there, but there isn't a, you know, a single location where once this is up and running, this will be the resource where you have all of this comprehensive information in a single location.
Yeah, that's the intent, absolutely.
So you can go ahead with your next steps, if it's polling or if it's some more discussion.
Yeah, it is polling. So let's see, Peter, yeah, okay, you want to tell us about how to poll? And then we'll actually go through the questions.
Yep. For those of you using assistive technology, we have, I think, four questions coming up here. So for assistive technology, there are going to be multiple options, multiple answers, A, B, or C. Some of them may only be A or B. But the corresponding keystroke function, so for if you want to, if your choice is A, you would do Control 1. B is Control 2. C will be Control 3. So for those of you using assistive technology, I think non-assistive technology, those features are built into the platform, so you can use those as well. But Control 1 is A, Control B is 2, Control C is 3.
Great. So we're going to the next slide, which I think is the, there we go. Thanks very much. So Woody went to what we have up on the screen, and we do have alt text, so hopefully people who are using assistive technology get some of that information. On the left is the web page, the home page of what Woody just went through, and it has, and then on the right is another design, basically. And the differences between those two designs is the one on the left has all of the topics that we're addressing in the Title II requirements on the home page. So the introduction, the who has obligations, the protected by, it's a long list. It's like 12 different items that are on the web page. Then on the right is a different design, and it's a little bit simpler, I guess. And it has a button that says ADA Title II requirements, but it doesn't list the topics, so that you would click on ADA Title II requirements, and then you would get right to the requirements, and you have all the topics on the left side. And the reason that we drafted two pages and that we want your feedback on them, I think it's in part because we've just been looking at the darn thing for so long that, you know, we need feedback from other people. We're trying to figure out, you know, is it helpful to have all of those topics listed on the home page, or does it seem too busy and we should just have that one button that says ADA Title II requirements? So that's the big difference. So option A, the one on the left, is the one that has all of the topics listed on the home page after ADA Title II requirements. And option B is the one that just has a button that says ADA Title II requirements, and then, you know, takes you have to go down one level to get to that. And then option C is you have no opinion, which is fine. Not everybody has to have an opinion. So we're going to do polling.
Yes, and Kathy, the polling for those of you looking at the within the webinar room, the polling feature is the last option above the participant box, so you can access your A, B, and C choices.
Okay, great. So I'm seeing a few come in. Ooh. We're going to keep going until it stops. We have over 100 participants, and we'd love as many people as possible to vote. If you're in a room with other people, maybe you could have a quick discussion. And
and Kathy, just as a discussion note, or Woody, do you know approximately what the difference would be in terms of links, the number of links on each homepage that you're having folks select from?
Yeah, and this question may apply more to someone that is using assistive technology, just because it's listing all the ADA Title II requirements makes it pretty heavy in terms of like a list of clickable items to wade through on the homepage. So it would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So it's a difference of about 16. And of course, you know,
in the total for the would be what, about 40 or 30, where you have all the
for everything
the links
total.
Yeah.
Not including the main bar, if we're just looking at the home page and like everything there, it's 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28 total. 16 of them are the ADA Title II requirements. So the option B, the simpler one, would get rid of those 16, and instead you would just go straight to the Title II requirements page, where you can then navigate to which section of the requirements you'd like to visit.
And I don't think 28 is not a terribly large amount. I mean, you look at some of the of our not to pick on any particular federal agency, but you go to some federal agency websites and with home pages that have literally hundreds of links on them. That's where it becomes, you know, quite unmanageable. You know, 28 is not too bad.
No,
Peter, I think we're good with the poll. Do you want to give us the results? Ooh, there we go. So we have. Where are my percentage? Oh, 29%. Oh, so it's a percentage of the total participants. Okay, so 29% voted for A, 24% voted for B, and 45% didn't vote. So that's not a C. It's just so it sounds like not that far apart actually, but there's a lead on A. So that's really, really helpful. I really appreciate it. We're also doing in-person user testing, so that's going to be helpful to help us make a decision. Good, thank you very much. Can we go on to the next poll? Okay. So there's a fairly brief explanation of each of the titles. It's not a whole lot. Like for Title I, I would say there's maybe three sentences that explains what it is. For Title II, I'm not concerned about because the whole page is Title II. There's something on public transportation. So these are, I would say, modest paragraphs of maybe three or four sentences that explain the ADA overview. We also have in the resources section, we have links to the regulations so people can get there. But my question for you all is, do you think there should be a longer explanation of the other titles of, you know, Title I, III, IV, or V, or do you think this kind of brief description is sufficient since A, the site is so text heavy as it is, B, it's really focused on Title II, and then three, if you did want to get the regulations for Title III or the transportation section or whatever, you could find that under the resources. So that's the question. A is yes, I think it should be longer. The other explanation of the other titles should be longer. B is no, I don't think it should be. I think it should stay the way it is. And I guess if you don't vote, we're going to kind of take that as a, you know, don't care either way, or you're falling asleep or you're, I don't know exactly what, but that's okay. You don't have to vote. So I see things coming in. The green check mark is the yes. The black, I'm sorry, the red X is the no, and boy, no's are, the no's is ahead by a lot.
Control one is yes, control two, no.
Yeah. Well, this one is really clear. It's really, really helpful. People are still rolling in. It's 57-7 on the keep it as it is. So, yeah, if you want to get information about some other title, like Title III, go right to the ranks. Okay, Peter, that's good. Do you want to show the results? Okay, we've got 56% said keep it as it is, 6% said want longer, and 36% did not vote. So
that's the opposite.
I'm sorry. 56.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's okay. We're having a discussion here. We're reading the chart. Okay, thanks, Peter. So let's move on to, we've got two more questions, and then we are going to open it up for you all to ask questions. So we did not include other disability rights laws. For example, the Air Carrier Access Act, the Fair Housing Act, special education law, you know, in part because of this issue of there's so much information on it. But, you know, it was a discussion here in the office, should we include descriptions, should we include in the resources sort of other disability rights law, we'd have a section, it would have, you know, a few sentences on the laws, it would have the regulations, it would have the federal agency, it would sort of have that kind of basic information, or should we just leave as it is? So this quiz is actually backwards from the other one, so you just have to put on your cognitive hat. So this is, yes means we think you should include other disability rights laws, and no, I guess it's not that difficult. No means no, don't include disability rights laws, and no vote means, not voting means whatever it means. Ooh, look at that.
Control one for yes, information on other laws, control two, no.
This is great. Oh, yeah, still voting. Okay, Peter, we've reached a critical mass. So I think it's pretty clear that people do want us to include information on other disability rights laws. That's fine. It will really just be a link that will take you to it. It's not going to be that hard to put together. I think the Department of Justice already has some general guidance and just need to update their links, et cetera. So thank you, everybody, very much. Okay, we've got two more, I think. Or one more, I can't remember. I think we have two more questions for you. So this thing about the what I call temporarily the action plan, preferences for that name that should be given to kind of that last plan after you do a self-evaluation for, you know, actually implementing those changes. So we've got the transition plan, this other plan. So A is action plan, let's call it action plan. B is, let's call it work plan. And C is anything else you think it should be, and please type your suggestions into the chat box for a different name. And then afterwards, you know, we're not going to read them all off now, but afterwards that'll give us an opportunity to look over any other suggestions you all have. So, Peter, instructions again on the voting?
Absolutely. What are our options again?
The options are A, B, and C. A is use the action plan, like that name. B is, no, let's use work plan. And C is, I've got another suggestion, and if you have another suggestion, please type it into the chat box.
Yep. So control 1 for A, control 2 for B, control C, control 2 for C, control 3 for C. And also you can provide feedback if you provide it in the evaluation following the session. We can certainly, we will send that information along to our colleagues at the New England ADA Center. So if you think of something afterwards when you're doing your evaluation of the session, you can include that information in there.
Well, this is great. We have, they're still rolling in, but we have a pretty clear majority, although I am going to be interested to see what other suggestions people have. I'm not seeing the chat box, but I see that four people at least voted for C. Okay, good. We have another critical mass. Peter, you want to give us our results? So we had 52% like the term action plan, only 1% voting for work plan, and then 3% have other suggestions, which I will look at, and then 41% didn't vote. So good. That's really helpful. Do we have another one, or is that the end of the questions? I don't remember. Ah, okay. So that's the end of the questions we have for you. And now I think we're opening it up, Peter, correct, for questions and whatnot from the audience.
That is correct. Demetrius, I'm going to have you come back with us and give instructions in a moment for our telephone participants. Again, as a reminder, for those of you in the webinar room, you can submit your questions directly into the chat area. You will not see your question when it is submitted, but it is viewable by the moderators and presenters. So Demetrius would, in assistive technology users, Control-M, put your focus into the chat area. Otherwise, you can just click on the chat area and enter your question. Demetrius, if you give instructions for our telephone participants, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press the star and then the one key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Once again, if you have any questions or comments, please press star, then one.
All right, Kathy, while we're waiting to see if we get any questions, when we've had some questions submitted throughout the session. First one, and this is probably a Woody question, what is the time frame for implementing this website, rolling out the site?
I'm looking. Woody and I are looking at each other, and I like said a month, and his mouth went open, so I don't know. What do you say? Oh, I think we said the first of the year.
I think the first of the year is a,
yeah.
A good.
Yeah, Gabrielle, you want to pop up here?
Yeah, I'm going to toss, and I think that's sort of what we were aiming for. You know,
yeah.
By the time we do the user testing this week and get some additional feedback, we had already done a little bit, and then we start to program it and bring in users probably again, you know, two rounds, and then launch it.
I think that's 2017.
Yeah.
Peter, what's next?
Another question, participant wants to know if they'll be able to add a link directly from their website to the action guide.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can create your own button. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You can do whatever you want, and it will link directly to the website.
Yeah. The pages, the way they're set up, where it's, you know, a lot of content, but there's sections that you jump to, those will have distinct URLs. So you can link somebody from your site directly to what section you're trying to show. It'll be a number sign and some other thing additional to the HTML. So yeah, you should be able to link to wherever you like on the site.
Okay, excellent. And there's a question from asking if this will be shared with other ADA centers, and I think the answer to that is absolutely yes. And sure, there will be a link to the action guide once completed from the ADA TA website, the national ADA National Network website.
Yes.
This one, I'll give it to you, I don't know if there's enough detail. The person asking, will checklist be more comprehensive?
I guess I don't know what that question.
Yeah.
If you want to email me directly, kgips@newenglandada.org, we can chat about that.
Yep. And you can, or if you, you know, if you're still in the webinar room, you could add additional information to that question.
Yeah.
And we got another Woody question. I'm glad that we get lots of questions about the actual website. This person wants to know, how are you going to ensure that the website is compatible with the website is compatible with all types of browsers, other applications, screen readers, and assistive technology?
That's really what we do here at the Institute of Human Centered Design. So we've got, you know, Android tablets, Apple iPads, different types of PCs, different browsers, and I personally, you know, I'll try them out, and I'll even try them out with screen screenwriters and stuff, but I'm not an expert in that by any means. So at that point, when I'm curious in the functionality with assistive technology, that's when we bring in user experts that really know the ins and outs of that, and they'll go through the site, and you know, if there's any issues, then we work back to looking at the code and fixing it there. And Gabriella might be able to speak more to that, but we're pretty well experienced with developing.
And to that, before you jump in, Gabriella, just another question along those lines. Someone wanting to know if there'll be a beta site where you know, where people will be able to come in and test it and provide you with some feedback.
I was just going to say, if you'd like to email us, so we have your email addresses and your information, we can reach out to you when we're at a phase where it would be helpful to get some other input. A lot of the user expert testing we do is done right on site, so we can actually see what's going on, because then it becomes sort of crystal clear to us where there's fumbling around or where somebody might lose track or not land on the right page or might lose understanding of the site. So we sort of document all that and videotape it and take notes. And that, of course, is after we do all of the sort of robust testing ourselves. So we use a lot of tools to do the testing. So if we think that there might be a particular problem, we will bring folks in, you know, just to look at that particular problem and sort of look at other issues that we've come across. But, you know, we would be happy to have, you know, your name and be able to reach out to you if we need to and if you're interested in that.
Yeah, if you're remote, we can certainly consider the testing that we were to do is, like Gabrielle said, in-house, but I could look into doing a password protected beta site and get it out to people that are interested in and giving us feedback.
Yeah, because the person that asked the questions in Hawaii, so that you're reaching far and wide here today.
I'm to Boston, and we'll do you some kind
of, or maybe better yet, the three of us should go out to Hawaii.
Take the office to Hawaii. Yeah.
Do it on location.
Yeah. Peter, do we have more questions?
We do. We have lots of questions. Person wants to know if you come up with a final name for the website.
Well, the name is the ADA Title II Action Guide for State and Local Governments.
I can give you the...
And that was the name of the original, so this is the name of the current, the same.
Okay.
Kathy, what are we going to, what did we register, Title II Action Guide for?
Oh, it'll be adaguide.org. We wanted something really simple.
What was the URL again, Kathy? ADA?
It doesn't exist yet. Isn't it ADA?
Okay.
.org? Woody's shaking his head now. We'll figure that out. I just want to make sure we get to as many questions as we...
Absolutely. A clarification on the checklist. The person wanted to know if the checklist on this website will be more comprehensive than the checklist currently available on adachecklist.org.
I guess I'd have to know what you mean by more comprehensive, because I've thought that the other one was pretty comprehensive. Perhaps the person means that we don't have every aspect of the ADA standards, if that's what the person needs. But, you know, email me what you mean and your feedback and what you think might be missing and things like that. And, you know, this is a good time.
Going back to that question before, the URLs are...
Yeah.
The ones we have registered now, we might have more once it goes live, are adaactionguide.com and adaactionguide.org.
That's good.
Okay. Content question. Person wants to know, will there be any category of case law or other legal information affecting Title II entities on the website?
Well, that would be great. I mean, one of the nice things about having a website is we can add features. That is not in the planning yet, now, I should say, and we'd have to look into, you know, what that would mean to get that information, but certainly we're open to your suggestions, so that's a good suggestion. But no, I guess the answer is we're not planning on doing it at this point.
Okay, and we've gotten so wrapped up in all the questions we're getting. Demetrius, do we have anyone on the telephone with a question at this point?
I
Okay, very good. We've got plenty of questions to keep going. Someone wanted to know about information regarding information on how to make websites accessible and resources on that topic.
Well, we're certainly going to have, let me just see, we're certainly going to have, there'll be a checklist on it. There'll be something in the title, too. I don't know that it's going to be under the hood, but we could certainly add something, you know, we could add some more information to the resources, a section on web accessibility, which would take you to exterior sites. So that's another good idea, because really it is the current issue, and we need to be providing people resources to do it. Yeah. So thank you.
There you go. We're going to have, Kathy and Gabriella, you had mentioned emails for folks that wanted to get involved with the beta testing. Could you speak those again, and then we'll have Claudia put those in the chat area for our participants to be able to see? And
I think those are going to go to Woody.
Woody, okay.
That's good to me, and I kind of like that idea. We'll have to talk about it, but I'd be happy to do a password protected beta that I can get out to a couple people in Hawaii. So my email is wshortridge@icdesign.org, and I'll spell that out. It's wshortridge@icdesign.org.
S-I-N-G.
S-I-G-N. I'm sorry. Got lost in my letter there. It's design.org.
A group effort there. And so that is for folks that are interested in possibly participating in a beta testing of the website. And then, Kathy, if you want to give your email time for that individual that had questions about the checklist.
Yeah, it's KGIP, so it's K-G-I-P, S in Paul, S as in Sam, @NewEngland, all spelled out, ada.org.
Very good. We'll get time here for another question or two. This one is a more technical assistance question, Kathy, so this one's for you. So individuals asking, please discuss the relationship between Safe Harbor and the recreational elements in the 2010 standards.
Sure, absolutely.
Would they be covered under, you know, programmatic access obligations?
Yeah, I think that's really the important thing, and that's a big reason for the self-evaluation and transition plan, because we now have standards for recreation, and the safe harbor requirement is that when the Department of Justice came out with completely updated ADA standards in 2010, they said, okay, if you're in compliance with the 1991 standards, we're not going to make you kind of go forth and change everything that's now required in the 2010. So, for example, if your light switches are at 54, that's fine, although we now want them at 48. You only have to do that when you're altering them, but you don't have to kind of go forth and affirmatively do that. That has safe harbor status. And the same is true of toilet rooms, which are a different configuration. But they said, we've got this new stuff like the recreation standards, and those do not get safe harbor status. You need to, at this point, take those recreation standards and do a program accessibility analysis using those new standards. So swimming pools, play areas, golf courses, you know, all of the things that are in the recreation section do not get safe harbor status. We need to be looking at those facilities currently and using the standards to make them accessible, to make sure people have equal access to those activities and programs.
Thanks, Kathy. And I think, like you said early on, you know, while there isn't still the regulatory requirement, just from a common sense, it makes sense to do a self-evaluation in a transition plan, you know, for many reasons. One, you know, it demonstrates to the you know, to the disability community that that the state and local government entity is serious about the full inclusion of people with disabilities in all aspects of community living. And then, you know, secondly, when we talk to state and local government people, you know, how do you possibly begin to defend yourself against, you know, a complaint or the Justice Department picking up the phone or sending you a letter and saying that you're out of compliance if you yourself don't even know what, you know, if you have any barriers or where there may be, you know, programmatic architectural issues. So, and one last comment that was submitted in, just a thank you from one of our regular participants, Corey up in Minnesota, just said thank you to Kathy and Woody and Gabriella for the presentation today. So we received a lot of questions on the topic here, and I was glad to see that. So again, from us here at the coordinate the ADA audio conference, and on behalf of the rest of the national network, we want to thank our colleagues from the New England ADA Center, Kathy, Woody, and Gabriella, for spending the past 90 minutes with us, and also, you know, the preparation you did in advance to put together this session. I think it proved you know, beneficial for you in what you're doing in designing this website and getting feedback from the participants. And hopefully for those of you that participated today, you got some additional insights, information about the action guide, and hopefully you're looking forward to this this resource being made available.
Yeah, I just want to pop in and say thank you, everybody, for your, you know, attention and also for your feedback. It's been really good for us to get that. So thanks, and thank you to the Great Lakes for, you know, organizing us and hosting us.
Absolutely. Absolutely a pleasure. And you know, thanks to all of you, the participants. You're the reason why we do this on a monthly basis, why the ADA Audio Conference, you know, program is you know, the longest running educational program offered by the national network. So thank you for participating. As a reminder, today's session will be archived. The audio archive will be available on the ada-audio.org website within 24 hours. Within 3 weeks, we'll have an edited transcript available on the website, so you can go back and access that, or if your colleagues weren't able to participate, they can access the archive. The next session in the ADA Audio Conference series is going to take place on November the 15th. We do not have a topic and title ready to announce to you today. It will be up on the ada-audio.org website very soon, so stay tuned to that website so you be able to register for that session. And for those of you that are past participants, an email message will be sent out to you letting you know when registration opens for that future session and what exactly that session is. If you have questions about the ADA Audio Conference series, you can contact us at 877-232-1990. So once again, thank you to all of our participants today. Again, thanks to our colleagues from the New England ADA Center. Thank you for joining, and good day.